All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the eastern seaboard of the United States. Tonight, the president may ban Huawei. SpaceX wants 1 million broadband Earth stations. Right-click, yes, right-click changes are coming to Gmail. LinkedIn is announcing live video. Live video is coming to LinkedIn. I want to welcome you to episode 1346 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners, those of you who are checking the show out for the very first time. One more show on the road, and we'll be back in Honolulu doing audio and video. But if you're brand new to the show, just go over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You'll find multitudes of ways to do that. But most importantly, we want you to subscribe to become part of our Ohana. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of our longtime listeners and soon-to-be viewers again of the show. Thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the family. Again, if you're new, once you get on the website, get subscribed to it and then scroll down and sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about tonight. It basically be a repost of what's on the website. Just an email out to you with a link and all the links to the specific articles. And of course, you can also listen to the show on blueberry.com or your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat rooms, geeknews.chat, which is a Mastodon chat server, or on Slack. To become part of our Slack family, all they do is email me, geeknews@gmail.com, and that's a great way to send content or send your comments about the show as well. Or you can just follow me on Twitter at Geek News and fire away there. Follow on Facebook and all the variety of social media sites. Partner shows are all linked at Geek News Central and include the GNC Weekend Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and Podcast Legends. Check out all those shows available at geeknewscentral.com. Of course, pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And of course, that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been with us since June of 2005. And those of you that are looking to pick up domain names or a hosting service, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take some time today to go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, look over the deals, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be $249 a month for economy or managed WordPress hosting, which includes a free domain for the first year, $249 a month includes a free domain. Get you started to having your online presence. There's really no better deal available in the online world than that to get you started today, having your own, build your own destiny, build your own business, whatever it may be. GoDaddy has the products and services and a wide variety of stuff to make sure you are successful. It's not just about domain names. It's not just about hosting accounts. There's a full line of mailing list software products. There's commerce. You name it. They got the full stack. They got everything you would ever need to do and have something online and get it built out the way you want it to. Of course, Website Builder is great for those of you that have absolutely no idea how to even get started building a website and get a 30-day free trial with that. All that's available. via my links or my codes available at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's a place to start. That's a place to send your friends, family members, people that you know to get in there and grab a promo code and use it. Share my promo codes on social media. Again, around the water cooler, you're hearing someone talk about doing a website. It's still cool to do that. Please grab one, get signed up today. And it's just like doing a donation for the show. Anytime you make a suggestion to someone to use one of my promo codes, it's just like writing a check. So we want to thank all of you that do that on a regular basis. Just to catch you guys up here on, again, thanks to GoDaddy, and check all those codes out. All right, so to get you guys caught up here, I'm throwing you a curveball, and I don't know if it's going to happen yet or not. But I was talking with my wife yesterday, and she says, okay, you're going to be home on the afternoon 16th. I said, yes. She goes, what do you think about leaving for Australia Sunday morning? And I'm like, are you kidding me? She goes, no, there's open seats. It's a good time to go to Australia for 2 or 3 days. And I'm like, you're going to have me fly home after being on East Coast time zone. Get maybe one night sleep and then get on an airplane again in the morning and go to Australia and then tromp around for a couple of days and then come back. She says, sure. So maybe next Monday I'll be in Australia. I don't know. We're flying the space available. If there's seats, it's not even guaranteed. I'm trying to see if it actually fits with everything I've got going on. Believe it or not, my schedule's nuts. Really, really nuts. And that would mean I would get back and not have much time at home. I get back, and that would put me back home Wednesday the 20th from Australia. And then leaving just over a week or more later, and being gone for another 10 days. So, we'll see. We will see. But it cannot, it's free flight. And, you have to pay some taxes. But it's a new, interesting opportunity. So, on Thursday, I probably will know whether or not we're going to try to do it or not. I have to apply for a visa. I guess that's not automatic. I had 24-hour turnaround, so that's not an issue. But I got a lot of stuff going on. Taxes, number one. I've got a team member in Arizona right now at the IB leadership meeting. He's attending that while I'm taking care of the rest of the business stuff here. I've had a good run. It's been a very productive, very successful, extended East Coast trip here. It really, really has. And lots of stuff in works, and 95% of it, I can't talk about it on the show, obviously, but I'm finishing up the trip here on a positive note. And I think, there's a lot going on still. So I'll keep you guys advised. The travel, I don't think, is going to slow down. Hardly any. Maybe when I get to in June or July, maybe things will slow down a little bit. At some point, I'm going to have to do a vacation too, but that's not on the horizon just yet. Okay, so anyway, that gets you through where we're at, get you caught up. Again, ready to go home. And I think I'm actually have a third suitcase going home. I'm thinking about shipping it Friday morning so I don't have to lug three suitcases through the airport. Actually, I may send one of these suitcases to Michigan because some of the stuff I just may not need again until I'm back in the swing of things, having moved. So anyway, I can't keep that in mind. But anyway, that's what's going on. And thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Crazy times for sure. So let me, one thing that came in on email, I do want to read this before I get into the contents. It came from Nigel, and he said, Todd, I got picked up on this by one of my accountants who's Chinese. He says, you pronounce what I've been pronouncing Huawei is Huawei, Huawei. And he says, here's the links for all of us geeks. So it's Huawei. So love the show. Keep knocking him out of the ballpark. And he, P.S. he said, I'll trade one of our 100 degrees Fahrenheit days here for one of our cold Eastern Seaboard days. Just let me know how to package it up and send it to you. Now, Nigel's in Western Australia, and I don't think I'm coming anywhere near you, but you're in the drilling business, Nigel. I heard there's great opportunities down there for people that are in that business. I heard people work for 2 weeks and they're off 2 weeks, and that the drilling companies actually fly people almost anywhere. Is that true with your company? Do they do that? But anyway, so I'll let you know. Be honest with you, I don't even know where Hawaiian flies. If it goes to Perth or... She just said Australia. So I think it's Perth. I don't know. I'll have to look. But let me see here. It is April. No, it is not April. Duh. It is February. So it would be like March, April, May, June, July. So it would be actually July, August type weather. Yeah, nice and hot down there. So summer is in mid bloom. So who knows? Maybe I'm coming down under, and won't be in your neck of the woods. But we've got a few Australian listeners. Let me know. Are you in Perth or where are you at? Actually, I should look. Where? I'm stupid here. Where does Hawaiian fly in Australia? Let me see if I can get it here. Where does where we fly? I didn't come up as an immediate thing. All right, so let me look here. Let me see here. It says Perth or Sydney. Oh, come on. Give me the information here. You would think, okay, so what airlines from Hawaii to Australia? Oh, that is so stupid. I guess it's Sydney. It goes to Sydney, so it's not Perth. All right. So I guess I'm maybe going to Sydney. I don't know. I'm just looking it up quick on Google. I should know. I just don't. So any listeners down under? Let me know. Maybe we can meet up if I go. All right, so let's move on here. Trump may sign executive order to ban Huawei and ZTE telecom equipment. And this ongoing trade wars between the United States and China could heat up next week if he signs executive order banning the telecommunication equipment manufacturers from being deployed in U.S. wireless networks. Now, this order's been rumored for a while, and Politico reports that there's a push to make it happen before the Mobile World Congress, which runs at the end of February. The goal is to send a message to firms looking to do business with the United States that they need to prioritize cybersecurity concerns. And it goes on to say, and I don't know who made this actual comment. Oh, I do. It's listed here. We're going to be asking people to do things, but the U.S. legal and regulatory environment hasn't really closed the circle yet on this issue, said Paul Trilio, who leads the consulting firm, the Eurasia Group, Global Technology Practices, in the report. So there's a lot of pressure now to get this EO out there, whatever that means. And here's the thing. We know that the Department of Justice have had some issues with Huawei and for their alleged stealing of T-Mobile technology in evading sanctions against Iran. And those have broadly been made against the folks at ZTE as well. And of course, the president then interceded to protect ZTE from being destroyed when the United States initially levied sanctions against that company. Now, the closest things we've got to the kind of technological smoking gun many have hoped for was Bloomberg's report on the supposed compromise Supermicro servers. And nothing has been really fully said on what the government knows. But I can almost guarantee you, and I want you all to really think about this for a second. If we come out, you think about this as a bold step. If we come out and say this company's, if the United States government, you may like who, you may or may not like who is in charge of the administration, but remember, some of this started back in the Obama administration as well. But for the country to come out and actually ban a company from doing business with the United States or the United States doing any business with any third parties outside the United States that do business with this company, for us to step up and say, you can't do business with us anymore, that is beyond trade disputes. There's another reason that this is being done. And we talked about this a lot on this show in the past, on the ability to easily, how should we say it, compromise machines that were manufactured overseas. If the U.S. government thinks for a second or has any type of proof that there is actually a, there's truly a security issue, then I would be one to tend to support the administration's banning of them. Because if this is, if they if they're going to do this, if they are really going to come out and ban them, I just have a feeling that, you know, there's more that meets the eye here, and we'll never know fully what it is. We will know that there is something much bigger afoot. And as, and I don't care where your politics lay, if there is a situation where telecommunication equipment that's basically used as the underpinnings of this country can be compromised, that's a major national security threat. And that's a major national security threat, not to just the United States, but almost any of our allies and people that aren't even our allies. It's a big deal. And if we actually do and drop the hammer on this company, it's going to make it people go really go, wow. Now, the next question is then, if they're going to blacklist Huawei, who else? What other Chinese companies, what other stuff being made in China is of concern? You know, that's the question, right? It makes you go, just a little bit, doesn't it? Remember, most electronics are made overseas. The chips, all that is made outside the United States. There's very little chip manufacturing capability left in the United States. Very, very little. And if you think about that, that's pretty scary that we've gotten to that point. There's some, but a lot of it is overseas. A lot. You know, the government has raised concerns against this company, and presumably it has good reasons. I don't think we'll ever know the nature of these suspicions and the base for them of a ban. So the next few days could be telling here. So let's keep an eye on this and see what happens. But that's kind of me, for me, that's the big story of the day. Second one, SpaceX is seeking FCC okay for 1 million satellite broadband Earth stations. SpaceX Starlink team wants quick FCC approval. So this is exciting to me. It really, really is. You know, the FCC last year gave SpaceX permission to deploy 11,943 low Earth orbit satellites for the planned Starlink system. A new application from SpaceX Services, a sister company, asked the FCC for a blanket license authorizing operations up to 1 million Earth stations that end-user customers will utilize to communicate with SpaceX NGSO, non-geostationary orbit constellation. This is big. If SpaceX is going to make this happen, they're going to make it happen. If each end-user Earth station provides internet service to one building, SpaceX could eventually need authorization for more than 1 million stations in the U.S. SpaceX job listings describe the user terminal as a high-volume, high-volume manufactured product consumers will have in their homes. And these terminals will employ advanced phased array beamforming and digital processing technologies that make use efficient of the Ku band spectrum resources. Now, I used to use Ku back before this show was even in existence. I brought down bulletin board packets via Ku. It was expensive. Consistent with SpaceX space station authorization, these Earth stations will transmit in the 14 to 14.5 gigahertz band and receive in the 10.7 to 12.7 gigahertz band. That's up there. Not a lot of stuff in those bandwidths. And SpaceX service seeks authority to deploy and operate these in throughout the continuous United States, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Exciting, 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 exciting. I want in on this. Now, while the latest application focuses on the SpaceX plans to provide broadband service globally, SpaceX hasn't provided a specific availability date. But a Reuters report in October 18 said SpaceX's goal of having internet service available in 2020 is pretty much on target with initial satellite launch by mid-2019. FCC rules require the launch of 50% of the satellites within 6 years of authorization and all of them within 9 years. So, we'll see. We'll see how. I don't know how many they can put on a single launch. But to me, it's really exciting stuff here. High-speed broadband for rural America. Very, you know what I'm headed towards, right? I'm headed towards rural America. So high-speed internet, yes. Sign me up for a couple of those broadband stations. Next up, right-clicking in Gmail is about to get a whole lot more useful. Google is finally addressing one of the more annoying quirks of Gmail's web interface by overhauling the right-click menu, adding a lot more options in the pop-up list that should make it more useful. It's a pretty simple one. In rollouts hits this account, you'll be presented with reply, reply all, forward, archive, delete, mark as unread, snooze, move to, label as, mute, find emails from that particular person, or open in a new window. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Sometimes I can never find the reply all button because it's stuck or hid and I have to slide. I'm excited about this update. TechCrunch is reporting LinkedIn is debuting LinkedIn Live, a new live video broadcast service. You know, LinkedIn is, if you're not on LinkedIn, if you're not following me on LinkedIn, you should be. It's a social network for the working world with close to 600 million users globally. I think I have about 2,000, maybe 3,000 folks I'm following LinkedIn. So launching in beta first in the United States, LinkedIn Live, as the product is called, will be invite only. Crap. In coming weeks, LinkedIn will also post a contact form for others who want to get in on the action. It's not clear when LinkedIn will make it possible for everyone to create LinkedIn Live videos. But if you consider how it developed its publishing feature for written works, that will come later too. Initial live content LinkedIn hopes to broadcast lines up with the kind of subject matter you might already see in LinkedIn's news feeds. So it would be cover conferences, product announcements, Q&As, and other events led by influencers and mentors. Office hours from a big tech company, earnings calls, graduations, and awards ceremonies, and more. So very, very excited to see LinkedIn come on board. Hey, tonight I want to give, and this came from one of my team members. They said, Todd, you need to talk about Rosemary Bryant Mariner, Captain Rosemary Bryant Mariner. Formerly Con Auster, was born on April 2nd, 1953 and passed away January 24th, 2019. She was an American aviator and one of the first six women to earn their wings as a United States Naval Aviator in 1974. She was the first female military aviator to fly a tactical jet and the first to achieve a command of an operational aviation squadron. She was born in Harlingen, Texas, and grew up in San Diego. And so this is a little history on her. I've got her Wikipedia page up. She retired from the Navy with the rank of captain in 1997. She was a resident scholar at the Center for the Study of War and Society and a lecturer in the Department of History from 2002 to 2016. And sadly, she died from a 5-year battle with ovarian cancer. But big deal here. And for the ladies out there, If you've got a young daughter or something, this is a true American hero that any person can look up to. But for the moms, this is the type of a woman that you would want to, to encourage your daughter or your son to look at what they achieved in their life. So very good eulogy to her, and information, of course, on Wikipedia and other sites. I saw something in the Naval Aviation News as well about this a few days ago. Space.com is reporting a campaign has been launched to revive the Saturn V vertical rocket replica. You can now help revive the Saturn V. The U.S. and Space Rocket Center in Huntsville, Alabama, I've never been there, I'm going to have to visit this, has launched a public effort to return its one-of-a-kind standing replica of the Saturn V moon rocket to its like-new condition in time for the 50th anniversary. The real Saturn V, which is developed at NASA's Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville, launched the mission that landed Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon in 1969. The Huntsville-made rocket launched Apollo 11. Wow. Achieving the seemingly impossible and putting a man on the moon, of course. So I don't think it's the actual rocket, a replica of. But anyway, the 10-week Revive Saturn V campaign seeks to raise $1.3 million to clean, resell, and paint their 363-foot-tall rocket replica that has stood at the U.S. Space and Rocket Center since 1999. And so anyway, link will be up in the show notes. Throw a buck or two in there. European Space Agency celebrates women's science with an AstroPi challenge. Coding will become important in space exploration as humans explore faraway places, says a Canadian astronaut candidate in a new video. To celebrate the International Day of Women and Girls in Science today, February 11th, Jennifer Sidney Gibbons spoke to the European Space Agency about her female role models and the importance of women in coding history. The European Space Agency released the video to promote the AstroPi Challenge, an ESA education program done in collaboration with the Raspberry Pi Foundation. The program offers students a chance to do space-based scientific investigations using Raspberry Pi computers on the International Space Station. So very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes. Verizon, get this, wants you to pitch 5G to local officials. They even drafted a letter for you to sign. Now, why do they need your help? Because 5G is going to require a lot of little cell towers all over the community. The community is going to be dotted with these little 5G cells. I don't even want to call them towers. It's going to cause a lot of people to be annoyed. But in order to get 5G, because they have such short range, that they're going to have to deploy a lot of them. So that's why they want 5G wireless, your help to launch 5G wireless. Here's the deal. If you ever have the opportunity to have a cell put on your property, that's a cheap way to free internet service, ladies and gentlemen. Raise your hand and sign up to have a tower in your yard. And it may not be quite that simple, but it's pretty close. But they want you to pitch 5G to your local officials. Also, Verizon's 100 by 100 gigabit GPS Fios plan, 100 by 100 gigabits per second Fios plan, is now just $40 a month. Wow. And comes with $50 free cash. The 100 by 100 gigabit, not megabit per second, gigabit per second. All right. Let me think about that for a second. So it's $39.99 a month if it's available in your area. It comes with a 1 year. It has to be 300 by 300 megs. It can't be a gig. The gigabit plan, which has a 3 year price guarantee, comes in normally at $79.99. All right, what am I missing? Am I having a brain fart here? So anyway, it's available for $39.99 if you can get it in your area. Key is if you can get it in your area. A robot delivery startup called Nuro, N-U-R-O, has raised $1 billion from SoftBank. Nier was one of the few companies to be operating fully driverless vehicles on public roads today. And they're delivering, basically, they're relatively small vehicles. And what are they using them for? They're focusing on food delivery rather than people moving. And they're going to use the money to build more vehicles to be operating fully driverless vehicles on public roads. This is the latest major investment in autonomous vehicles by SoftBank. Of course, the Japanese tech giant 2016 said it would pump $2.25 billion into GM's self-driving cruise division. So, this automated vehicle thing is big. Truck drivers listening to this show, I'm honest with you, the clock is ticking. Many of you don't believe this, but it is. For long haul, the clock is ticking. Apple's next iPad mini reportedly won't look much different, but it'll be faster. And it still has a lightning port, but at least there's a headphone jack. So 4 years after release of iPad mini 4, Apple may be finally close to releasing a successor, according to a number of websites. And when could we see this? It doesn't say when, but it could be about the same size with a A10 in it, A10X processor. So and probably better screen and so forth. So we'll keep our eyes out for this. Windows 7, a Windows 7 add-on support is going to cost up to $350 per PC for 3 years. So this is big. A Microsoft document is offering details on how much it would cost to companies to maintain Windows 7 PCs if they don't migrate to Windows 10 by early next year. And I know a lot of companies are still on Windows 7, but $350 a year just to get updates for a Windows 7 machine for companies. For you and I, for average Joe out there, we probably have no chance unless we're a corporation. Sprint has sued AT&T over its fake 5G. Says AT&T is tricking customers. Well, we talked about this on a previous show, and some like AT&T have gone so far as actively mislead customers by pretending its existing 4G networks are actually 5G. And of course, AT&T took this next level recently by issuing phone updates that changed the 4G icon to 5GE on customer phones, despite the fact that actual 5G really isn't available. And so Sprint is going after them. And they decided to respond by filing a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for Southern District of New York, arguing the significance of AT&T deception can't be overstated. AT&T practices likely qualifies as unfair and deceptive under the FTC Act, and Sprint argues that the head fake is potentially costing its customers as consumers buy into the fact that AT&T is ahead of the curve on 5G upgrades, and they're not. So just a little bit of a heads up there. We've talked about it. You are informed. Texas lawmaker wants to ban mobile throttling in disaster areas. He's proposing a ban, apparently in response to Verizon throttling firefighters. Bobby Guerrero, Democrat member of the Republican-controlled Texas House of Representatives, filed a bill last week. A mobile internet provider may not impair or degrade lawful mobile internet services access in an area subject to a declared state of disaster. If passed, it would take effect on September 1st. The bill reported by NPR affiliate KUTU appears to be responding to Verizon's throttling. Wireless carriers often sell plans with a set amount of high-speed data and then throttle speeds. So so we'll see. We'll see if this goes through. I think this is a good thing. I really do. Facebook and Google News should be regulated, a report says. This comes out of the BBC. The Carncross Review, into the future UK news industry, said such sites like Google and Facebook should help users identify fake news and nudge people towards reading news of high quality. It also backs tax relief to encourage the provision of local journalism. In addition, the report called for a new institute for public interest news. Such a body, it said, could work in similar ways to the Arts Council, channeling public and private funding to those parts of the industry deemed most worthy of support. The independent review undertaken by former journalist Dom Frances Carncross was tasked with investigating the sustainability of high-quality journalism. Services like Facebook and Google and Apple should continue their attempt to help readers understand how reliable a story is, and the process that decides which stories are shown should be more transparent. It's out of the UK. Those of you that are veterans, if you're going to the VA and have been seen at the VA and have records at the VA, veterans can access their medical info through Apple's health records. So this is good. This is new. Again, this is for veterans, not active duty. Apple's expanding its health record feature in iOS to cover one of the larger groups in the U.S., namely veterans. The company is partnering with the Department of Veterans Affairs to make soldiers' medical info available. Why do they always say soldiers? To make veterans' medical info available in one place on their iPhones, including known conditions, prescriptions, and procedures. It is a record-sharing system of its kind at Veteran Affairs. Access to veteran data will be available soon, Apple noted, although it didn't say if that would be tied to an iOS update. So they apparently teamed up with Aetna to do this. So, okay, we'll see. It'd be cool to link it up. Google Fi SIM cards are now on sale at Best Buy. So you can now buy Google Fi SIM cards at Best Buy. You know you could get these from Google for free up to this point. The SIM cards are available through Best Buy CoverTalk and text and mobile data plans. Data-only cards that you might use with tablets rather than smartphones are still only available directly from Google. Getting a SIM through Google is free, but you have to wait for shipping. So Google's decision to put SIM cards in store marks the company's latest effort to expand the reach of Fi. Last year, the company announced it will expand the compatibility of its services to work with most Android phones and iPhones, although the later experience is still limited. According to Amazon, Amazon put in a deal to acquire EERO to help customers better connect smart home devices. So EERO today announced that they have entered into an agreement to be merged under which Amazon will acquire them. It's their home mesh Wi-Fi systems that set up in minutes and blanket every room in customer's home. EERO is already delighting Amazon customers with its product and services, indicated by EERO's 4.6-star rating on Amazon.com. I don't even know who this company is. So Amazon just bought them and rolled them up into the fold. Still holding out on SSDs? I'm not a super big fan of SanDisk SSDs, but the SanDisk SSD Plus has a 480 gig solid state drive. It's down to $59 on Amazon. And it's not down much. It was $770 before. But here's the deal. They've got a 960 gig version that's been as low as $100. I'm still a big fan of the Samsung EVO SSD drives from a performance standpoint. So definitely look at this, but you can't beat this if you just want some external storage. The prices are getting there. According to The Verge, new iPhones are going to stick with Lightning over USB-C. So you're also going to get the same 5-watt USB-A charger in the box, the slow one. So the 2019 models will be equipped with a Lightning connector rather than USB-C port, which sucks. The Asian supply chain and Asian accessory manufacturers successfully predicted that the 2019 iPad Pro would drop Lightning in favor of USB-C. But according to everything else, we're not going to see that with the iPhone. And but of course, with the laptops on USB-C now, it doesn't make sense for them to stay with Lightning the entire time. NASA today has taken a significant step toward human landings on the moon. For 2 years, the administration has made various noises about returning humans to the moon. There have been bill signings with Apollo astronauts. The vice president as well has traveled to NASA facilities around the country to make speeches. However, beyond the return to the moon talk, not a lot has been going on, but there has been some new documents revealed today. They're going to be taking bids and issuing contracts up to from $300,000 to $9 million for a lunar lander. And this is a quote-unquote a real step here. And NASA will hold an industry day on Thursday to answer questions about these solicitations. While this is not unexpected, It's nonetheless significant that the agency is now moving forward with plans to actually put humans on the moon with uncrewed demonstration missions coming as early as 2024. Exciting stuff here, right? All right, you're going to love this. There's a new Tinder-style app out there for cows. And I had to laugh because when I saw this, I'm like, really? Following the example of Tinder, UK farming startup Hektar has launched its own equivalent for livestock, and it's called Tutter. The app features data profiles of animals from 42,000 UK farms in an effort to help farmers find the perfect breeding partner for their cattle. Now, let me tell you what used to happen. I'm going back to my roots here when I was a kid growing up and, raising sheep. If you wanted to do artificial insemination in the day, when this is like 79, 79 and 80, if you wanted to do artificial insemination of your livestock, you would get a book and it would list the studs that were available and, or the rams, in this case, the rams that were available, and you could read about their breeding line and their, you know, basically all the details. And then you got your checkbook out and you basically ordered online and arranged a specific delivery time. And you knew the delivery was coming on a certain date, and you would then basically put the ewes into heat by, they'd all get a medical dose, and then your stud specimen would arrive and in a 2 or 3 day process, and you would go through the artificial insemination process. And this worked out really, really well. It was expensive, very, 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 very expensive back in the day. But what you end up with was you were able to design your herd the way you wanted it through finding the best breeding partner for your livestock. And it was very, very effective. We did very well in doing that. And you guys are laughing here, you know, because little did you know that, you know, Todd the Geek here was involved in the farm business doing that type of stuff when he was a teenager. And ultimately what it really resulted in was we ended up with 1 year winning in the state of Michigan. We won the meat division. Basically, you raise the lambs, and so long story short, here we were able to really improve the value of our herd, and then people would pay a higher number for the lambs that we sold. That usually went for 4-H and FFA for show lambs. So I have to laugh here. Cupid for cattle. This is brilliant. It really is brilliant. And farmers who swipe right on images can contact the owner for further details, speeding up the process. It's going to often involve transporting animals over long distances. Well, not necessarily transporting the animals, but because you don't have to have the animals together anymore. There's other ways to do this. It's been around for many, many years. So very, very cool. Link will be up in the show notes for any of you farm boys out there. In a more serious note, in just 2 years, 9,000 of these cameras have been installed to spy in your car. For years, police departments have been tracking people's cars with cameras that capture a license plate number for every vehicle it passes. The EFF, a San Francisco-based digital privacy nonprofit, has described the technology as a form of mass surveillance. Now a generation of tech firms has made it possible for private citizens to use the devices known as automatic license plate readers, or ALPRs, without the strict oversight that governs this type of data as a private. You don't have to be a law enforcement to get this. And it costs anywhere from $49 to $300 a month. And it captures up to 2,000 plates a minute. And it can, on vehicles traveling up to 120 miles per hour. It's mostly used by businesses. And but there's 9,200 cameras in 70 countries. About half of those countries are customers are police. But this is crazy. I didn't know this was even available. At least 16 states have statutes related to LAPR use and data retention, which civilians are required to follow. However, the states that do have rules don't do a very good job of publicizing them. It's possible not a lot of the users realize this when trying out the software. Further, unlike law enforcement agencies, which are generally subject to public information laws, there is no way for citizens to know exactly how private companies are using the ALPR data they collect. So imagine setting a camera up somewhere on your property and you can catch cars going by, collect the license plate's number, and know who is traversing in and out of your neighborhood. From a community watch standpoint, it's kind of cool. From a privacy standpoint, that's kind of, What do you think about that? Love to hear comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Over on The Atlantic, check this out. It's a good article. I read through this whole thing. And it asks the question, why people still don't buy groceries online? We shop for almost everything else. Why not food being delivered? And did you know that companies that do this are having a huge time trying to stay profitable? There's only a few that have been successful in this. It's a good read. It really, really is. I think a lot of it has to do with that food is pretty personal. And when I go to the grocery store, for example, if I'm going to go buy some seasonings, we all do it. We look back further in a rack and look for one that's a little fresher. Make sure the expiration date's not missed. Make sure that it's still in its, you know, the form it's supposed to be in, not, you know, clumpy or something. It's an interesting topic here. Those of you that are doing, having someone delivering your groceries, how's it working out for you? But they're finding out the $6.99 to $9.99 price tag is not being very profitable. If you think about shopping and think about the time, for me to go to the grocery store, in Hawaii especially, it's an ordeal. I have to deal with traffic, go stand in line. It's an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours to go get groceries. For those most of you, that's not the case. Your grocery store is on your way home. You can bop in and bop out. For some places, it makes a lot of sense time-wise to let someone else shop for you, but it's not, they're having challenges in the grocery delivery business. Anyway, I'm not going to go through the article in depth. It's a good one to read. Link will be out in the show notes. How many of you have ever used Push Bullet? It's an Android app. Well, apparently it syncs. It syncs text notifications and more across all of your devices. And, you know, the iPhone has that down to a science. Matter of fact, it does it a little too well sometimes. And across phones, iPads, across your computer, you know, everything stays synced up. Everything you do, your tracking of where you go, your text, your notes, your documents, all that stuff is tied together. So, anyway, Push Bullet. It's getting an update. So I'll definitely have a link up for you to check that out. All right, a couple articles I found tonight that Kirk didn't. And the president today signed a signed an executive order that launches the U.S. government's own artificial intelligence play. It focuses on the American AI Initiative. And the initiative is designed to boost America's AI industry by reallocating funding, creating new resources, and devising ways for the country to shape the technology even as it becomes increasingly global. Why? Because China and other countries have a head start against us. The order will redirect federal funding agencies to prioritize investments in AI. It will seek to make federal data, computer models, and computing research available for AI. It will direct the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, to create standards that foster the development of reliable, robust, trustworthy, secure, portable, and interoperable AI systems. It will ask agency to prepare, prioritize, oh my God, I cannot speak tonight. to help workers for the changes brought about by AI. In other words, they're not going to have a job anymore. And it will call for a strategy for international collaboration that ensures AI is developed in a way consistent with American values and interests. So are we at a point where we're going to turn on AI and the machine's going to go against us? I don't think we're quite there yet, but Now I want you to think about this a little bit, and especially the ladies out there. In America, no one tells you where to go, what to do, how to do it, where you're restricted to, the hours you can travel, none of that, right? And if someone tried to, there would be, it'd be the leading news in the country. But Apple and Google are accused of helping enforce gender apartheid by hosting Saudi government app that tracks women and stops them from leaving the country. The Saudi Ministry of Interior's Abshir app is where men give women permission to travel and also where they can activate SMS alerts to let them know when women use their passports at the border. Wow. Wow. Under Saudi law, every woman has a legal guardian who can restrict her travel to specific airports and routes and get automated alerts when they cross borders. Of course, Amnesty International is not happy about this. They said that Apple and Google should reconsider hosting the app. Yasmin Mohammed, a critic of Saudi Arabia, said there's a definite tragedy in the world's most technological progressive platforms, Apple and Google, facilitating the most archaic misogyny. Apple and Google didn't reply to this. But it basically says where they can and can't go. Wow. Why is this even allowed? Why do Google and Apple allow this? App to exist on their platform? That is the question. All right, finally tonight, don't forget about the news and articles on geeknewscentral.com. Please go over on a regular basis and check out. My team is paid well to put up articles over there. I hope you go over and visit. I hope you like the articles. I hope that you retweet them and promote them in your social medias for stuff that triggers you to, if you've read a good piece or if we've given you some information that you didn't have. Of course, we want you to support this show as well. We want you to help our good friends at GoDaddy pick up a product over there so that that intern helps this show. And of course, if you hadn't become an insider already, I want you to consider becoming one. I think that I try to put out consistently good content for you that gets you informed on what's going on in the tech world and give you my spin on things, make you sit back and go, a little bit. Hope there was a few of those articles for you tonight. And happy to be here, happy to be with you. But again, one more show from the road and then back to Honolulu and maybe a Monday show. Maybe, if not, I may be in Australia, but I almost can't pass up a semi-free trip. Sure, we'll have to still pay for hotels and have a little spending money, but in considering it probably saving a couple, $15,000 to $3,000 on airline tickets, it was probably worth the trip. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me. I'll see you on Thursday here, and we'll release show, of course, Friday morning, or at least Thursday night. Friday morning will be available for you. Again, if you have comments on the show, please leave those comments via email. Definitely want to thank you for staying and hanging out for the show, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. Everyone, take care. Aloha.